Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and a broker here at StoneX. We work in the futures and options markets. I also work in OTC, cash consulting, and other services for the commodity markets. We work with hedgers, whether it be on the production side for farmers or end users. I also work with speculators. If you have any questions about what we do here, I'd like to work with us, you can give me a call, 312-706-7610, or email craig.turner@stonex.com. All of my contact information is also in the show notes and on the website. Speaking of which, you can go to turnerstake.com if you want to check out the newsletter. If you like this podcast, please give us a positive review on iTunes and feel free to send it along. That's how a lot of people find us, is through the podcast and also the newsletter. So today is WASD Day. You know, we're just coming out of the end of the summer. Now we're getting into, you know, fall is right around the corner. School is just starting. We all had our summer vacations here at the end of the summer. Now we're back in the office, and the WASD came out today. The September WASD is always an interesting one, or It is definitely this year, because it, to me, it marks the end of kind of the primary focus being supply in the grain market, and now we're going to be primarily focusing on demand. I'm not saying that we're not going to just not pay attention to supply. We certainly will. I mean, it didn't mean we didn't pay attention to demand before, but during the growing season and throughout the summer until the September WASD, usually the focus is on the supply side. And as you ramp up in the spring into 4th of July, tends to be a bullish period for the supply price market. And then after the 4th of July into, let's say, the September WASD, it tends to be more bearish as the crop is confirmed and weather premium comes out. And now what tends to happen is we start to transition into what the demand story is, because supply, the market now has a much better handle on the supply side. The USDA updated their acres. They increased corn by 600,000. I think they decreased soybeans by 300,000. They may change it a little bit, but it'll just be in the margins. No one can expect any big surprises now on the supply side of the acres. Yields came in. This is the first WASD where they actually used observations from the field to get yield. They increased corn a little bit. I think it was 1.7 bushels to about, you know, 176 and change. Soybeans went up 0.6 to 50.6. Again, you usually, when you see that, you might expect yields to come up just a little bit, you know, from August, if we're going to see that change. But, you know, it's not like we're going to 180 or something like that, but we're probably in a, let's just call it 176 to 177 for corn. Maybe soybeans is a 50.5 to 51. Market will get comfortable with that, and that'll be our supply, right? So we'll now have a pretty good idea of where supply is. It may change a little bit between now and January WASD, but nothing huge, nothing like it could have been or projections were like when you're growing this. So that's why we tend to come out of the supply side. So what's going to end up happening now is we transition into what's demand going to be like, and also eventually South American weather, right? So for right now on the demand side, it's going to look, China is buying a lot of soybeans consistently. You've seen a lot of sales. You go out there for soybeans, and that looks good. For the wheat market, the USDA didn't change a whole lot on the supply or the demand side. So it's kind of like a little bit of a steady as she goes. Our Canadian clients think, you know, some of the wheat numbers coming out of Canada are too rosy, that it's actually a little bit more dire than they're thinking. So maybe we'll get a little bit of a bullish uptick in wheat the next time Stats Canada comes out. But, and for corn, the big wild card is the Gulf. I mean, the whole basis for the bull case for corn this fall and into winter was two things. It's exports, which you need the Gulf operational for, and then potential La Nina weather issues in South America. It doesn't have to be La Nina in South America, just be any kind of weather issue, but that's what's been batting around. There is some better rains and weather in South America now, right? So I don't know if we're going to see La Nina out there. If it does, maybe it's not like it looks, but there is Argentina and Southern Brazil have been getting some pretty favorable weather. So good for the farmers down there. It doesn't do a whole lot, bullishness for price up here. And then on the supply side, on the demand side for corn, we really need the Gulf to be operational. The Gulf shutting down hurts corn probably the most out of the corn, wheat, and soybean trade. So we're going to come into harvest. We'll see some harvest pressure. And what tends to counterbalance the corn harvest pressure is the export demand that we see now that we're in our marketing year. And we see those exports coming into the United States. And it was expected to be some pretty strong exports. So that's going to be disappointing for the market. So as we see corn come down here, testing $5 and $5.05, let's see where we are right now. I'm doing this about an hour after the WASDE report, and corn's up about 7. So we're having a little bit of a post-report rally. I'm not shocked. We've come down a lot, and now we're going to see. There is basically sell the rumor, buy the fact. I think that's what we're seeing right now. Does it mean we're going to $6? No. But does it mean we are due for a relief rally and that's what we're seeing? I think so. Everyone was thinking acreage increase. Everyone was concerned about a little bit of a yield increase. There was all those questions around exports. And we were selling based on the bearish WASDE and on the exports in the Gulf. So I'm not shocked that we got down to the low in these corn was what, 497.5? And that was on the spike right after the report. And here we are at 516. Wouldn't be surprised if we're somewhere, if we're positive on the day. A nickel and a dime here in corn and 15, 20 cents here in beans seems like no big deal on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's kind of where we finish off here in an hour from now. It's about 12:15 as I'm talking. So that's where we are going forward. It's going to be all about demand. Sounds simple. Sounds kind of cliche almost, but we are entering that period. And the September WASDE sometimes can be the marker of the market mentality of that switch from majority, from heavyweight on supply to now heavyweight demand. So we'll be keeping an eye on those export reports and also the progress in the Gulf. They're getting power down there, hopefully, and as soon as they can get power and get in operating, I think some of the private companies that need to ramp up their recovery efforts will probably be working 24 hours around the clock to do so. And I would think that exports eventually get caught up. What was interesting with the USDA is their average prices I found. For corn, the average price for new crop on farm is still $5.45. Now, I know some people sold, new crop high, when it was, these 21, what's as high as December 21 got? About 640, like way back in April. But there was a lot of time where corn never lived above 6 for more than for a week or so at a time. But there was a lot of time where corn lived in the high fives for new crops. So the average price of 545 is going to include sales that have already been made and then sales that are, probably being made now and throughout the harvest season. And then we pop back up probably during the fall, post-harvest rally, that kind of stuff, whether rally in South America. So 550 sounds reasonable as an average price for corn. I think for soybeans, it's closer to 13 bucks. Yeah, they moved it down from 1370 to 1290. I think that has a big part of the carryout. So the carryout at 155 is tight for beans. At 185, it's tight, but 185 almost at 200 is $11 and $12 beans. If 185 is too low and demand comes in big for soybeans and China's buying and we start increasing the export expectations, then all of a sudden beans, I guess, deserve to be 13, 14 bucks or higher. Also, too, I would think with just the tight carryout on the U.S. and 185 is tight, they're going to still be sensitive to South America. What's interesting about soybeans and why soybeans can run sometimes faster than corn, even if they're both tight markets, is in soybeans, you only produce enough soybeans for export every 6 months and in only two regions of the world, right? So you got, you make what you have in the United States and you export that for 6 months, then you make what you have in South America and then you export that for 6 months, and it's vice versa. And there's no room for error. It's not, you know, one of these things fail, you're up a creek, right? Meanwhile, like corn is a little bit different. There's, you, and it's all about where you produce these grains and oil seeds for export. That's the most important part here, for export. You know, with corn, it's North America, South Africa, Europe, you know, particularly like Ukraine, right? So there's a lot more corn regions, and then wheat, forget about it. Wheat, you're producing wheat for export every month to 2 months, depending where you're on the world, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, and if it's spring wheat or winter wheat. So there is a lot of wheat always coming on. So wheat is going to be the least one affected. So when it comes to a weather market and the global export market, soybeans can really take off here. So I would think with tight stocks, soybeans would be most sensitive to an increase in exports, but also the any kind of weather rally we get later this fall. So if I'm looking at the market and trying to position myself, maybe I'm looking at the long side of soybeans. Corn, I'm expecting more of a range, high fours to mid fives, until something really changes in the export market. If we get the Gulf up and running and just the exports start coming in big, big waves, then I can definitely be persuaded and we're not in this high four to mid five range. But you've got to see that kind of demand come back to get real excited about corn again. For now, I just think we're a little bit more of a range-bound market as we get into the thick of harvest. So in terms of strategies going forward, I think corn, if we're going to treat it as a range-bound market, anyone who has old crop in storage or has new crop they know they're going to put in storage, that's really, really more it is at this point in the calendar. It's new crop they know they're going to put in storage. You can always sell some short-term straddles around it to collect some premium on grain and storage. I think from where the spec trader's in there, you could probably buy the support and resistance moving averages. 200-day moving average comes in at 505. So if we get down there, that's going to be strong, especially if we close up here at, you know, in the teens, like 515, 516, where we are now. It just means that $5 and 505 mark is going to be even just more of a support level after this report, most likely. And soybeans should have a bias to the upside in any kind of adverse weather out of South America or any kind of increased, you know, bullishness on expectations for demand, exports, and China. So I think that's kind of where we sit. If I'm on the soybean side, it's interesting. New crop $13 beans isn't so bad, right? You can probably start, you know, catching up on sales, selling them at 13, buying call spreads just in case they keep on going higher, or buying some courage calls like $14 or $15, that's probably $14 calls to sell into on any kind of South American weather rally for new crop. That's what we did last year, or some stuff like that, same kind of idea. I think that makes sense. If I'm a corn farmer, I got a lot of new crop, I might be looking at 550 calls also to eventually sell into, right? To see what kind of demand and to see what kind of weather issues we get in South America. We had the same kind of strategies last year and did pretty well with it. So I think it's been tough sledding for the past month or two for the grain markets, especially if you're in the long side or in the farmer. And I think that's going to start to A, stabilize, and B, have more potential catalysts for going higher now. If I'm on the consumer side, the end user, you know, you can use some certain products here that we have at StoneX, where you can be buying December corn under $5. I'm using some structure products. I think that makes a whole lot of sense, especially given the balance sheet now. So I think that'll be interesting. I think if you need feed, or you're buying, you know, if you need bean oil for mayonnaise, or if you need, you know, or you're in the ethanol business or renewable fuels on the, you know, biodiesel side, or if this is, you know, feed for dairy or feed for livestock, whatever it may be, I'm going to guess we're going to start seeing some buying coming in on that side too. Maybe not in huge amounts, but enough. Now that this report has come out, prices are probably fair, right? You know, they still can go lower, but I do think you'll see some extended coverage here coming out on that side. So same thing for wheat. So that's where we are. We're about 15 minutes in. It's not going to be a long podcast. I just want to go over the WASDE report and where we see things going. At these prices, I'd rather for corn, probably more upside than downside at the moment. Same thing. Beans, $13 is kind of a fair value line for me right now, with the bias of it going higher, depending on the demand in South America. So as for the other macro markets, I know I talk about natural gas a lot. I still like natural gas just to, I know we've gotten up to $5 now in December, and we liked it to start talking about a dollar ago. The injections are still low seasonally for this time of year. We're in a shoulder month. It can keep on going higher if we continue not to add to injections as much as we need to. That's going to be an issue, and that's been the trend. That needs to stop, and if it doesn't, natural gas is going to keep on going higher, most likely. And then on the demand side, if we get a colder than normal winter, or if it's prolonged winter, it's going to create issues also for the natural gas market. So we're at $5 natural gas. Could we see $5.50 or $6? We could if a couple of bullish cards come out of the deck in that market. One, the injections just do not keep pace, and they haven't been. Doesn't mean they can't change, but they haven't been. That trend continues. If in the winter, if it's colder than normal or it's longer than normal, right? So if you get two, three of those cards that play out, most likely that's how far the rally could go. If it doesn't happen that way, we start catching up on the injections. It's a mild winter, then we kind of peter out here. But that's what's going on with the natural gas market. It is. I still like it. I think it's, and I'll continue to like it until I see warmer forecasts in the long-term range for the winter, or if these weekly net energy reports show basically the injection build being larger than expected, but it has not been. They've been actually lower than expected. So we'll keep an eye on that. That is about it for this week. So next week, we'll get more into the energy markets. We'll touch on cattle and livestock too. Otherwise, if you have any questions, give me a call. If you need to do anything in the grain markets, let me know. And that includes either the futures or also the OTC and structured products too. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you all next week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.